The North Sound Energy Week with Stork Technical Services, a leading energy support partner where safety and people always come first.
Hello and welcome to the Energy Week podcast. I'm Fiona Winchester. A week in which the First Minister has announced a £100 million wind farm project for Scotland. Oil and gas bosses battled for control of health and safety regulation. A fresh round of drilling licences were announced and Royal Dutch Shell reported a 54% rise in profits. At the start of the week, Alex Salmond claimed Scotland is number one in the UK when it comes to attracting inward investment. The First Minister's comments followed his announcement Samsung is creating 500 jobs in Fife. The South Korean engineering giant is basing its first European offshore wind project in the area in a venture worth up to £100 million. Mr. Salmond made the announcement at Aberdeen's Exhibition and Conference Centre on Tuesday.
Yeah, great day for Fife and Scotland. Samsung Heavy Industries is one of the most substantial industrial combines on the planet at the present moment. The fact that they are choosing Scotland to develop their new 7-megawatt turbine to do it very rapidly, are signing a memorandum of understanding pointed to £100 million of potential investment, 500 jobs. You know, that's great news for Scotland today. It does indicate two things. One, that the biggest companies in the world are choosing Scotland for investments. We saw the whole range of companies like Avaloq, like Amazon, who came to Scotland towards the end of last year, and now Samsung Heavy Industries, another one of these great combines. And secondly, of course, it stresses the fact that Scotland has unrivaled energy potential. You know, we've got 50 years of oil and gas, we have a quarter of Europe's marine renewable potential. And we've got the great skills and abilities of our people. So companies, that endorsement from Samsung Heavy Industries is a big endorsement and it'll make people sit up around the planet.
I mean, you've always said you're extremely well placed for this renewables industry. I mean, this is obviously proof of that, they're choosing Scotland.
Yes, I mean, you know, we're just in the burn season, so, you know, I would some poor the gift of gears to see ourselves as others see us. Well, others are seeing us as very much the place to come and develop their industry, their investments, and that's the best sort of accolade that you get from the international investment and industrial sectors, seeing Scotland as the place to develop their new technology. You know, the biggest skill we've got, because we've got huge energy resources and oil and gas and offshore renewables, but the biggest attraction we have is the inventiveness and determination of the people, and it's the people skills that are going to be required. You know, 28,000 people by 2020. You know, that's the other attraction that Scotland has. That's what people are looking for. That's why Scotland can be the research and development base as we re-engineer the future energy requirements of this century. So we've got a lot going for it, and Samsung's announcement today adds a lot of grist to our mill.
And I mean, do you hope it paves the way for other huge firms, you know, to come even out with the industry?
Well, I think it does indicate that. I mean, we had a survey just towards the end of last year showing that Scotland's attracting more inward investment than any other part of these islands, including London, incidentally. So we are now number one for inward investment. But energy is very much our strong suit, isn't it? And Samsung Heavy Industries, but that follows on from companies like Gamesa, Mitsubishi, Technip here in Aberdeen, which, of course, have set up their headquarters for renewables. But then we've got great Scottish companies involved. I mean, Samsung are developing with David Brown's, which is a part of the Clyde Blowers Group, headquartered in East Kilbride, a great gearbox and pumps company, business, international business from Scotland. We've got Global Engineering, who've just taken over the lease to redevelop the Nigg Yard, another key Scottish company, and, of course, some of the great producers, Scottish and Southern, Scottish Power, again, are Scottish companies. So maybe the most exciting thing is, yes, the great international combines are looking to Scotland to move forward in this industry, but they have willing partners in the Scottish business community who are going to be very much part of that exciting process.
And just to touch on the jobs, how big a jobs piece is this?
Well, you know, for Fife in the energy park, the potential of 500 jobs is very, very significant. And, you know, that's all in the memorandum of understanding. That's what's intending to happen. You're doing the trialling and the testing facility with a view to saying this is the place we want to go ahead with the construction, the fabrication. So it's, you know, it's big news. But then, of course, Fife just finished celebrating that Amazon opened the new distribution centre, the Europe's biggest distribution centre, fulfilment centre, in Fife just in time for Christmas. So this is another coup for the Kingdom of Fife.
Absolutely. just finally speaking about a wind farm, potential wind farm closer to home, I mean, how important is it that we strive to maybe meet the demands of the tourism industry, Mr. Trump, and also Vattenfall?
Well, I can't speak specifically about any development because it's before Scottish ministers for decision. But, you know, I'm quite certain, if I speak in general terms, that there's an acknowledgement we have to develop all of the natural resources of Scotland. I mean, we must proceed in a way which allows us to make the most of our opportunities as a country.
You think they can work together?
Well, I'm quite certain that that most people want to see success across the range of industries of Scotland.
Speaking at the official announcement, Lena Wilson, Chief Executive of Scottish Enterprise, told us she was delighted with the news.
This is a really fantastic day for Scotland to have a global giant like Samsung choose Scotland over other locations competitively and endorse our position as a global leading force in renewable technology.
Do you think it's going to pave the way for other people, you know, to follow suit?
I think the announcement today will definitely pave the way. Remember, this announcement comes in up 2 years of very good announcements like Mitsubishi Heavy Industries, Gamesa coming to Scotland. There are other companies like Samsung in the pipeline, and absolutely an announcement like this gives confidence to those other global companies who are looking to do the same thing.
And why Scotland, do you think? Why are they choosing Scotland?
Scotland, because we have the natural asset. We've got 25% of Europe's wind. We've got about the same in the kind of marine and tidal resource in Scotland. We've got fantastic sites like Fife Energy Park. And we've also got tremendous talent, both in terms of our supply chain, who are already supplying oil and gas, but in the university and scientific base and in our colleges. So you add the people, the company base and the natural resources, and you've got the perfect storm, if you like, if you pardon the pun, for offshore wind.
Meanwhile, oil bosses renewed a call to abandon plans for EU offshore safety regulation. They claim handing power to Europe would significantly risk future safety in the North Sea. Industry body Oil and Gas UK attended talks in Brussels on Tuesday. Robert Patterson is Health and Safety Director.
Our concern over these regulations coming from Europe is entirely based on our desire for the highest standards of health and safety in the UK. We actually believe that the EU are going the wrong way about developing this regulation, and indeed we believe that it will be detrimental to health and safety in the UK, not least because it will require us to dismantle the regulatory framework that was put in place in the aftermath of Piper Alpha, which has stood the test of time very well and is actually recognised as a world-class regime. Even in Europe it's recognised as a world-class regime. But this regulation is going to cause us a lot of problems.
Now, are your main concerns, is it in the detail or is it the fact that it's going to be centralised, essentially?
We're concerned for both of those reasons, actually. What has happened is that the EU has cherry-picked some of the requirements from the EU regulation. It's flattering to see that. But nevertheless, the wording that they've used is rather different. The wording is very ambiguous. It's very difficult to understand exactly what is intended by some of the requirements, albeit that they have a lot of similarity. That's going to give rise to regulatory confusion. Confusion in terms of how do I comply with this requirement when I don't quite understand what it means? Because there is no supplementary guidance with these regulations, as there is with all UK regulations, to try and help clarify that. We built our regulatory regime up over a considerable period of time. And it's well supported by HSE guidance, by industry guidance, by good practices and so on. And this will all be thrown on one side if the EU regulations are brought forward. But we also fear that regulatory control is being more centralised in Europe, in a place where they have no competence in this area at all. The governments of the countries around the North Sea have built up considerable expertise over a long period of time, but it doesn't exist in Central Europe, and so we have concerns that while they believe they're doing the right thing, this is very misguided.
Is there a sense of, if it's not broken, don't fix it?
There is some of that. But as I say, we're motivated entirely by having high standards of safety in the North Sea, and we don't want to see that thrown away at the present time. And it was particularly encouraging today in Europe to see John Taylor for the trades union stand up and support the UK position. We're supporting the UK position. The government has come out and said that they would prefer a well-worded directive to a regulatory approach. So all of that is encouraging, and we see ourselves standing four square with the other countries around the North Sea saying the same thing to Europe.
I mean, I think probably the most alarming point is, you know, when we're talking about safety, using words like ambiguity and confusion, I mean, that does sound rather alarming.
It is, and that's why we have these major concerns. We'd be more than happy to sit down with the European Commission and help them get the regulatory framework right. We recognise that the Extractive Industries Directive, which is a directive that relates to offshore safety, could be improved. But we could use the lessons that we've learnt in the North Sea to help them improve it and get us to the right position.
So going back to today's meeting, I mean, what is the sort of best outcome that we can get from today?
Well, I think the best outcome would be that the EC decide to go away and reflect on their position and take up our offer to help them to get it right.
On Wednesday, a fresh round of exploratory drilling licences were announced for firms looking for oil and gas in the UK. The 27th offshore licensing round was launched with 2,800 blocks on offer. It's hoped interest will come from firms far and wide and ensure a much-needed jobs boost up and down the country. Here's UK Energy Minister Charles Hendry.
Mr Hendry, an exciting day. Today marks the launch of the 27th offshore licensing round. Can you give us some details about these new opportunities?
Well, this is the latest announcement from the government that we are keen to secure some additional new investment in the North Sea. That the 26th round, which finished just a few weeks ago, was the most successful round since the 1960s. 190 new licences were allocated in that process. This shows there's a very strong appetite still to invest in the UK continental shelf, and we're keen to make the most of that.
Now, can you tell us exactly what's on offer here?
Well, essentially what we look at is the areas which are not currently being under licence, where that we are satisfied that there aren't immediately adverse environmental issues which can't be addressed. And then we make it available to industry to come forward and to say which areas they wish to be considered for. There's then a very thorough process of evaluating all of those bids, of making sure that the environmental issues are entirely covered and looked after. And then we can award licences in due course.
Fantastic. So as yet, you know, you wouldn't be in the place to say exact sort of locations.
No, that this is an open season, essentially. What we do is we say that there are some areas which we don't think are appropriate, but then everything else, people can come forward and say, yes, this is where we want to secure a license, and this is where we think there may be scope for developing. It goes, of course, in line with a very strong movement in forwards of technology, which means that companies have much greater ability to identify where they think there may be resources, and this targeting more effectively of where the resource may be is an important part of the industry today. But this shows our confidence in the sector. It shows our commitment to seeing continued growth here. There's 350,000 jobs in the northeast of Scotland which are linked into this activity here in the UK, and we want to see that built on further.
That was going to be my next question. You know, today's announcement surely indicates a surge in job opportunities.
Well, that's what we would like to see. We have seen last year that there's a very real continuing interest here by the fact it was a record-breaking year. That, as I say, 350,000 jobs in Scotland, which directly related to the UK oil and gas sector. But then on top of that, another 100,000 jobs which are in Scotland, which are based on developing these opportunities overseas. So this is one of the most important economic sectors in the whole of the British economy. The North Sea provides 60% of the total energy we use in the United Kingdom. So the more of our resources that we can secure from that, the better it is for all of us.
Now, a few weeks ago, we reported, I think it was a Deloitte survey that said that drilling activity in the North Sea is actually down to its lowest level in 8 years.
Yes, certainly we saw some reduction in the drilling figures last year, that there were a range of different factors in relation to that, that some of the wells which are being drilled are more complicated, they require more drilling apparatus and ships to be involved in them, and therefore there's fewer ships available for other drilling activities elsewhere. That we recognise that the output from the North Sea is declining. That's an inevitability of the life of where it is in its current lifetime. But nevertheless, what we still believe is there's a very strong resource which is still there, potentially 20 billion barrels of oil still left there, and that we want to attract investors from around the world to look at developing those resources in a safe and environmentally friendly way.
Absolutely. 20 billion barrels, hopefully many years to go. What about the environmental concerns, you know, attached to offshore drilling?
Well, it's an extremely thorough process, that no license is given until we are satisfied about the environmental aspects. So there's many domestic and international environmental regulations which have to be met, and that's a very thorough process. That's why it takes some time to evaluate the license applications from when they come forward. That last year that we held back for the best part of a year a number of the licenses because we wanted to do further work on the environmental side before being comfortable about issuing a license. And it was only once that had been done, and we'd been completely satisfied, and the UK has one of the best reputations in the world for this, that it was only once that was done that we were prepared to issue the final licenses.
Now, are you expecting applications to come, you know, from far and wide? And can you tell me when the round actually closes as well?
Well, what we have seen is that many applications have come forward and historically from around the world. One of the aspects of the round is that we do see smaller companies coming forward, and has been historically the case that some of the fines now are too small for the massive international companies. So it tends to be some of the more specialist companies which are keen to take advantage of these opportunities. So that there is a range of different companies who we think will come through. That in terms of the timetable for this going forward, that we run this for a period of months, that we have an application process, and then that the companies then go through a very careful process of establishing exactly whether their bids are going to be acceptable to us or not.
Okay, Mr. Hendry, I think that's fantastic. Is there anything else you would like to add?
I think that what it really emphasises is that this is an incredibly important industry for the whole of the United Kingdom. As the UK government, we are determined to get the best out of this for the people of Scotland, for the people of the United Kingdom as a whole, and that we remain very committed indeed to getting the best amount of new investment coming in that we can achieve, and getting the best number of jobs that we can out of that as well.
Also this week, oil giant BP announced a multi-million pound contract with an offshore engineering firm for the second phase of a major project off the Shetland Isles. Subsea 7 will produce new pipelines for the Clear Ridge drilling project, where the North Sea and Atlantic meet. The second phase of the Clear Field forms part of a £10 billion investment by BP and partners Shell, ConocoPhillips and Chevron over the next 5 years. And finally this week, it was revealed high oil prices helped Royal Dutch Shell report a 54% rise in annual profits to almost £18.1 billion. The companies say they will aggressively expand production in the coming years with several new projects in the pipeline and a higher investment in exploration. Peter Voser is Shell's chief executive.
Indeed, I think Shell had a good year, and we are pleased with our progress on the many projects which we are investing. On the forecourts, I think two-thirds of the price, as you know, are really going to the government. The other one-third is clearly very competitively priced. As you may have seen, Shell made a loss in the oil products marketing business in the fourth quarter. It was a very tough environment. But still, we are offering very competitive prices to the customers. And at the same time, we're also investing $30 billion every year in order to achieve, let's say, growth in energy so that we can satisfy the demand, so that the price actually can be kept in a certain band. I think the good news is clearly that we are going up in terms of production. because I think you have always external effects which you cannot take. So the fourth quarter was a very warm quarter, and hence our production was not as strong as normally. But we are now planning for 2012 to increase our production out of our flagship projects which are coming on stream, and therefore we will generate an increase in cash flow, which we are forecasting to be 50% over the next 4 years. And over the next 6-7 years, we will actually also produce 25% more production. We'll reach 4 million barrels. So I think that's where the growth is going into from our side. And it's mainly emerging markets.
And that's the Energy Week podcast. I'm Fiona Winchester.
The North Sound Energy Week with Stark Technical Services, global leaders in knowledge-based asset integrity management solutions.